In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are continuing in our journey of Exodus, chapter 18. And Jethro is arriving on the scene with Moses' wife and two sons. And it looks like Jethro has put his faith in the one true God, Yahweh. This is an exciting time and a wonderful family reunion. And Jethro's faith seemed to have an impact on his children. In Judges 1:16, we read, "Now the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up from the city of the palms with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people." So it looks like the children of Kenite hang out with the Israelites. And Judges 4:11 tells us, "Now Heber the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zanim, which is beside Kadesh." And it seems like that the descendants of Jethro become followers of Yahweh. Now, Exodus 18:13 is very fascinating. This is a traditional passage that is taught on leadership. And no doubt there are some leadership principles here, but there's much more going on than meets the eye. Now, I love the way Jethro approaches what he sees and observes. So let's begin reading in chapter 18, verse 13. "And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. The people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?' And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws.' So Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'The thing that you do is not good. Both you and the people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself.'" Now, what I love about Jethro is the way he approaches a situation that he observes. Clearly, he sees some problem, short-term and long-term. But he doesn't come in like a bull in a china shop and bossing and criticizing and ridiculing and coming across as the arrogant expert. Instead, he begins to ask questions. Now, we're introduced as Moses the judge. Now, we hadn't known that this was going on, but this is what Moses has been doing for some time in the wilderness. He's been handling all the affairs of the conflicts among the Israelites. Now, keep in mind, we're talking 1 to 3 million people. That's a lot of judging. Hence, from morning to evening, he's doing this. Now, he's proclaiming God's wisdom for settling matters of conflict. Moses sat and the people stood. Look at the contrast right there. And he goes from morning, which implies sunrise. So as soon as that sun breaks, Moses shows up on the legal chair, the judge's court, until evening sunset. And at this time of the year, we're talking about 11 hours of daylight. So that's a long work day and a lot of standing and sitting. And I'm sure Moses didn't have the most comfortable chair either. Now, Jethro inquires tactfully. He uses all participles, emphasizing the ongoing action. And he does this with three critical questions. What are you doing? Why are you alone sitting? And why are the people standing before you from morning until evening? Notice there's no condemnation. There's no criticism. He is simply inquiring, waiting to see what Moses' response is. Now, it may be obvious to Jethro, but he shows the respect and the courage to be patient and give Moses a chance to answer. And this is very wise of Jethro. And this is something we all should be doing. When we see something, before we jump to conclusions, before we judge a book by its cover, so to speak, let us ask questions, and not the kind of questions where you already know the answer, because that's offensive too. But asking in a sincere way, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you alone sitting? And why are the people standing before you from morning until evening? I think the tone here of Jethro is very sincere. There is no condemnation or criticism whatsoever in the questions. They're fair, they're reasonable, and they're honest. Now, Jethro, like I said, leads with questions rather than presume. That's a great lesson for all of us, isn't it? Now, Moses responds truthfully. He doesn't feel he's under any condemnation. He doesn't get defensive. He doesn't try to justify. He responds with the facts of the matter. And this is important, too, for a good, healthy conversation. Now, he's the intercessor. He says, I'm the intercessor. The people come to me to inquire to God. Now, the word difficulty, that Hebrew word means debar. It's actually the Hebrew word for word. They come to me with words, and I have to settle the matter. I judge, which means he actually makes a decision, a judicial decision. And then he also makes known or reveals statutes and laws. So he's in a position of being the judge, but also giving revelation. God is giving him the wisdom so that they understand the biblical principles behind the decision, so that they can avoid these kind of conflicts in the future. So he's a revelator. Make known the statutes of God and his laws. So he's an intercessor and he's a revelator. Now, Jethro's assessment after this exchange with Moses, he's setting the stage for the advice. And again, I think this is so wise, and we could really learn from this when we are coming along desiring to help others. You may have expertise, you may have wisdom, but if you don't approach others in this way, no one wants to hear from you. Your greatest ideas will be not heard. So don't undermine your potential to come along and help. So look what Jethro does. He sets the stage for advice. First, he says, not good. Now, what does he mean by that? Is this a criticism? No. What he's communicating is this is not efficient. This is not desirable. This is not orderly. This is not loving. He also appeals to Moses' strength of himself and the people. You're going to wear out, which literally means in the Hebrew, wither, crumble, and decay. And then it's too much. It's heavy. It's weighty. It's difficult. And then not able to perform, meaning not able to endure. Now, these four questions are so important. Think about from a business perspective. These are four principles that we all should be thinking about in whatever we're doing, all right? We should be looking at efficiency. Is this the best practice? Second, wearing out, is this sustainable? Can we do this for the long term? Is it too much? In other words, is this properly balanced? Is it properly weighted? In other words, is the workload distributed to the best people in the best way? And then the last, which I think is really important, is not able to perform, not able to endure. In other words, is this something that can maintain the long term? Okay? These are just four questions that you should ask. Is this efficient? Is this sustainable? Is the work properly distributed? And really, are the right people working and are they able to do their job well? In other words, the right tool for the job, the right person for the job. These are all really good principles that we need to ask ourselves in all our working relationships. Now, the next thing that Jethro does is he's now going to give advice. Exodus 18:19. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. Now this is great. So he asks questions, right? He makes an assessment that is agreeable to Moses, And then he proceeds with the advice. Now, look how he does this. He starts off with a plea. Listen, in other words, hear. Let me give you counsel. So he's saying, I'm going to now give you some advice. But also, God will be with you. In other words, make sure God will approve my counsel and assist you in carrying out. In other words, make sure, Moses, that what I have to say is agreeable to you, that this is proper and appropriate and is biblical. Now, the process he walks through, he says, stand. Now, it's describing how he intercedes, takes the place, and serves on behalf of the people, and how they bring and give the words, the matter, the problem to God. He talks about steer, which is the idea of teaching, warn with consequences. And he deals with statutes and laws. Now, statutes is the way one walks. Think of a journey. Follow God or the world. The laws is the work and labor they must do. It's the fruit of what you do or don't do. That's kind of the idea behind statutes and laws, if you're looking for a little difference between the two ideas. Then he says select, look and choose, able men, and look at the qualities. They're competent. They fear God. That is, there's reverence and respect, not fear of man. They're men of truth, constant and faithful, and they hate covetousness. They scorn unlawful gain. This is critical, these four qualities, not only for areas of judging and justice, but this is qualities for any position. Whether it's a pastor in a church or a person in the pew, these are important qualities for all leadership, but also in lay ministry, in our interactions at work and one another. You should be known as someone who's competent, who's respectful, who's truthful, and who doesn't covet. So how are you doing at work? Are you such a person? Because if you're not, you'll never be promoted, and you may even be fired. And then lastly, he says settle, install or appoint. And he breaks it down into 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. And this distribution of the work is so prudent and so wise. And now Moses is more of a supervisor, all right, where he's a judge, but he's only judging the big cases, while everyone else judges the multitude of the small cases. And as a result, everyone's case is dealt quicker, more efficient, there's more peace, and you're able to really solve these problems in a much more godly way. The conclusion? Lighten the burden as others lift the additional work. Now, this is such an important truth, not only in the church, but in the world. And in the church, we need everyone, all hands in on deck. We need everyone participating. And this is the leadership model. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, look those over and see how important those are. Well, we're out of time, so the idea this week I want to leave with you is ask this question from two sides. Number one, when you have something to contribute, some advice, are you being respectful like Jethro? And then on the flip side, as a worker, are you one who's trusted? Do you have integrity? Are you a hard worker? It takes both of these to really accomplish great things. So may you this week be a worker of integrity and wise in the way with your dealings with others, both with believers and unbelievers.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.